shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from the little cave on the tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing on the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it always has been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let's now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and author of A Mother's Plea, For the Winds Have Changed. Together we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Everybody, and welcome to on this very beautiful
it is
spring
nice.
Day
yes.
in Chicago. I think it's the warmest it's ever been, is it?
Yeah.
This year, so far.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Was it not last week we were talking about snow?
Yes.
That's what I thought.
Exactly. How are you, Tony?
All right.
All right.
I guess as good as can be at this moment.
So what's new under the... Nothing new under the sun.
Nothing new under the sun.
All right. Nick is over there. He's got still the Batman mask on, and I'm just flying into the studio, as happens all the time. Anyway, we shall begin with prayer. Let's see. I've got to get my glasses on. I see. Congratulations. Nick is fully vaccinated.
Yay.
Good for you.
Yeah, I was going to say that. We had an interesting conversation before it was time to come on.
No comment.
Yeah, it's a good thing. I won't comment on it.
Anyway, good for you. Good for Nick.
Yep.
Nicholas. All right, let's see. We find the prayer here. I have a feeling this is going to be a kind of a slow hour, for some reason, it seems to me.
And everybody pay attention, because that's when it's the best hour.
I don't know, you know? It's, okay, so let's pray, and then
we can... It's always a good place to start.
Then we'll determine what kind of an hour it's going to be. So we shall begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Thank you. Coffee. Now we can start.
And now you can start.
In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen. The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Behold the handmaid of the Lord. Be it done unto me according to thy word. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Pray for us, O Holy Mother of God, that we may be made worthy of the promises of Christ. Let us pray. Pour forth, we beseech thee, O Lord, thy grace into our hearts, that we to whom the incarnation of Christ, thy Son, was made known by the message of an angel, may by his passion and cross be brought to the glory of his resurrection through the same Christ, our Lord. Lord, have mercy on us.
Lord, have mercy on us.
Christ, have mercy on us.
Christ, have mercy on us.
Lord, have mercy on us.
Lord, have mercy on us.
Christ, hear us.
Christ, graciously hear us.
God, the Father of heaven,
have mercy on us.
God, the Son, Redeemer of the world,
have mercy on us.
God, the Holy Ghost,
have mercy on us.
Holy Trinity, one God,
have mercy on us.
Holy Mary,
pray for us.
Holy Mother of God,
pray for us.
Holy Virgin of Virgins,
pray for us.
Mother of Christ,
pray for us.
Mother of Divine Grace,
pray for us.
Mother most pure,
pray for us.
Mother most chaste,
pray for us.
Mother inviolate,
pray for us.
Mother undefiled,
pray for us.
Mother most amiable,
pray for us.
Mother most admirable,
pray for us.
Mother of good counsel,
pray for us.
Mother of our Creator,
pray for us.
Mother of our Savior,
pray for us.
Virgin most prudent,
pray for us.
Virgin most venerable,
pray for us.
Virgin most renowned,
pray for us.
Virgin most powerful,
pray for us.
Virgin most merciful,
pray for us.
Virgin most faithful,
pray for us.
Mirror of justice,
pray for us.
Seat of wisdom,
pray for us.
Cause of our joy,
pray for us.
Spiritual vessel,
pray for us.
Vessel of honor,
pray for us.
Singular vessel of devotion,
pray for us.
Mystical rose,
pray for us.
Tower of David,
pray for us.
Tower of ivory,
pray for us.
House of gold,
pray for us.
Ark of the Covenant,
pray for us.
Gate of Heaven,
pray for us.
Morning Star,
pray for us.
Health of the sick,
pray for us.
Refuge of sinners,
pray for us.
Comfort of the afflicted,
pray for us.
Help of Christians,
pray for us.
Queen of angels,
pray for us.
Queen of patriarchs,
pray for us.
Queen of prophets,
pray for us.
Queen of apostles,
pray for us.
Queen of martyrs,
pray for us.
Queen of confessors,
pray for us.
Queen of virgins,
pray for us.
Queen of all saints,
pray for us.
Queen conceived without original sin,
pray for us.
Queen assumed into heaven,
pray for us.
Queen of the Most Holy Rosary,
pray for us.
Queen of the family,
pray for us.
Queen of peace,
pray for us.
Lamb of God, who takest away the sins of the world,
spare us, O Lord.
Lamb of God, who takest away the sins of the world,
graciously hear us, O Lord.
Lamb of God, who takest away the sins of the world,
have mercy on us.
Pray for us, O Holy Mother of God, that we may be made worthy of the promises of Christ. O Most Blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of Mercy, at this most critical time we entrust the United States of America to your loving care. Most Holy Mother, we beg you to reclaim this land for the glory of your Son. Overwhelmed with the burden of the sins of our nation, we cry to you from the depths of our hearts and seek refuge in your motherly protection. Look down with mercy upon us and touch the hearts of our people. Open our minds to the great worth of human life and to the responsibilities that accompany human freedom. Free us from the falsehoods that lead to the evil of abortion and threaten the sanctity of human life or family life. Grant our country the wisdom to proclaim that God's law is the foundation on which this nation was founded, and that He alone is the true source of our cherished rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. O merciful Mother, give us the courage to reject the culture of death and the strength to build a new culture of life. And now, trusting in your most powerful intercession, we pray, remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to thy protection, implored thy help, or sought thy intercession, was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, we fly unto thee, O Virgin of Virgins, our Mother. To thee do we come. Before thee we stand sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word incarnate, despise not our petitions, but in thy mercy hear and answer us. O Mary, conceived without sin,
pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary, conceived without sin,
pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary, conceived without sin,
pray for us who have recourse to thee.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Well, welcome, everybody. There's a couple of things, in fact, actually in the break, and we're going to do that pretty soon, because I'm going to go up and get the homily. Our Deacon Jorge, mm-hmm. gave a homily on Sunday at the Spanish Masses, and it was really, really good. And I want to share that with you, as well as this morning. Of course, I'm in the process of trying to put things together for this coming weekend, so that's why I was, as happens, just flying into the studio, and maybe you can help me out with some of this stuff. I don't know. I'm just trying to put my thoughts together. Let's see. I guess the question is, because the first reading from, let's see here, we got that. So yeah, maybe you guys can help me write my letter or write my homily.
Yeah.
But the first reading This would be nice if we had an open, like, telephone call. People could call in and they could. So
maybe. I don't know.
Well, maybe, yeah.
Someday.
One second. You want me to take a break? Okay. I'm going to take Nick wants me to take a break. Gotcha. So that gives me a chance to go
be
up
obedient.
And get this. Exactly. I think he sees I'm kind of floundering here. So he says, yes.
Yeah, take it.
I guess. All right, everybody. Don't go away. We'll be right back. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to Listener Supported Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDC.
There is a lot to learn at St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy, where faith, virtue, and valor is the Academy's motto, where that motto expresses the values your child will learn here. Stop by St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy's website at ststanschicago.org. There you can meet the teachers, see the preschool, see the school's top academics, the science lab, and the Catholic faith. You will learn what our families have to say about St. Stan's. While you're on the site, you can schedule a tour to see St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy. So rather than hear me talk and talk, go to ststanschicago.org and learn all about
it. We are the students of St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy.
Your children can join them for face-to-face classroom instruction. It's not too late to register for the 2021-2022 school year at St. Stan's. Seats are limited. For more information or to schedule a tour, call 773-278-4560. 773-278-4560.
And you're listening to the Winds of Change.
Here's some good news. We are pleased to announce that St. Stanislaus Kostka is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, in answer to our Blessed Mother's call to open the doors. The Blessed Sacrament will again be exposed all day, every day, except when masses or other services are being held. You are invited to come and pray anytime, day or night. For your safety, we ask that you practice social distancing and wear a mask. Hand sanitizer is available, and St. Stan's has increased cleaning and sanitizing of the church, and a security person will be on site. More information can be found at ststanschurch.org. That's ststanschurch.org. St. Stanislaus Kostka is located 2 blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us. So it just occurred to me his homily's in Spanish, but and I'll share it with you. If you can just bear with me, this would be kind of fun, actually, because I'll translate it as I'm reading it. But I thought it was really good, and we got a lot of nice commentary from the Facebook people on it. And so I'm going to share this with you, and then maybe a little bit of what I might have said, if I can remember, because I didn't have mine written down. It was what I used to do all the time. Yeah, it's what I used to do all the time.
Right.
I didn't have anything written down, but then what happens is I tend to go on, and you know it prolongs the mass, and not that that's a bad thing. I always say I'd like to keep people here for 3 hours if I could.
I wish you could.
So much to say. You do, but not,
I would stay.
But in any case, he had a really nice homily, and it was I was so tired as I was, because we were last week was so busy. It's going to be busy from now until.
Yeah. This is the time.
It's Holy Communions. We've got a number of them coming up. We've got confirmations. We had our first Holy Communion on Saturday, and it was very nice. We've got a number of other ones coming up, and we've got confirmations, different confirmations. We've got lots of weddings, a lot of quinceañeras, all these things that were canceled
last year because
of the pandemic. And memorial masses, people who couldn't have a funeral mass because of the regulations that were imposed on us. So we're pretty really busy, which is a good thing, you know. So in any case, I asked him, and I should do this more because he speaks very, very well. And so I've got it here. Let me try to translate this, and if you can bear with me, everybody, I think I'll do it a pretty good job. I'm going to pat myself on the back already. But he writes, you know, he spoke with regards to the reading we just heard from the first letter which was the beginning of Peter's discourse after the healing of who was it? It was the healing of a cripple, and so he says here we see Peter completely different from the Peter we saw a month ago during the Holy Week, the evening into the morning. After he denied Jesus, he denied three times that he knew Jesus, for fear, maybe that he would be arrested and be incarcerated, imprisoned, because he was identified as having been with Jesus, one of his disciples. And so he threw three times he denied that he knew Jesus for fear, and Jesus had warned him because Peter had said, you know, I tell you, because Peter said to Jesus, I will defend you. When Jesus said, you know, he's going to be taken by force and crucified, and Peter said, no, I will defend you. And Jesus says, oh, you're going to defend me, Peter. I tell you tonight before the cock crows, you will have three times denied that you even know me. And so he did out of fear. But now in the first reading, this was this past Sunday's reading, we see Peter with his feet firmly grounded in the earth, in la tierra, with his feet firmly grounded, mm-hmm. and he's giving a face to the he's looking at this is a little difficult to translate, but he's looking to the chief the heads of the pueblo
it's not easy.
Well, the chief priests,
right,
you know, the chief priest, los jefes del pueblo, mm-hmm. the chief priests of the people, and the older people, the ancianos now, mm-hmm. the older people, and what they did to Jesus was that you took this man and you crucified him, Jesus of Nazareth, he who you crucified and who God the Father raised from the dead. And here Peter already is speaking about how he was arrested, incarcerated, treated as a criminal, and Peter took the occasion to give testimony to the resurrection of Jesus. And Peter had the courage; he had the courage, the valor, to face the chief priests of the people and the elders, and hold them responsible for the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. He confronts the authorities of the church, or of the Jewish people. With complete courage and with absolute authority, which came from the resurrection. This is just a complete contrast to the Peter we saw on the night of the arrest. So Peter, he presents us Jesus Christ as the only Savior. And this is 100% true because nobody under no other name on the earth can we be saved but by Jesus Christ. He has been constituted the Savior of the world, our Savior. And in the Gospel this past Sunday, we hear Jesus who says that he is the Good Shepherd and that he knows his sheep and his sheep know him. And Jesus wants to make us understand and to understand that the that this his generosity, the generosity is at the base of his love. That as the good shepherd, he loves his own, and he will love them to the point that he gives his life for them. And this is he does this voluntarily to save them in because this is the will of the Father. And so, speaking of the death and resurrection, he says he recalls us back to the to 1993, and I think you and Nick would really appreciate this, Tony, you and Nick, that and I don't recall this, I didn't know this, but in the newspapers of Chicago and the magazines, on the radio, on the television, there was a notification that Superman had died. Do you remember that?
Yes.
I don't remember that.
Yes, yes, yes. It was a big thing.
What? So, what? Was that just a joke or what?
No, in the comic, Superman died.
He did. I did not know. Okay, so, yes. So you know, I don't read the comics, but
yep.
They say good philosophers read comics.
That's true.
I must not be a good philosopher.
Oh, you will. We'll introduce.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I know these guys are comic buffs.
Yeah.
But so the 1993 Superman died.
Yep.
And the deacon said, you know, he was my hero. He was my favorite hero, and he was, so he was drawn, his death drew him in, drew great attention and great sadness, and he kept asking himself, who would be able to do this, to kill Superman, if he was invincible, immortal, and had the flesh, I can't translate this, tenía piel de acero, lightning, so it's like his skin was
unbreakable,
like, unbreakable, and his eyes were like lightning. And he could fly, you know, with the speed of light, you know, so all this stuff, you know, and he was not vulnerable to anything, you know, explosions, nothing. And all of a sudden, you know, now he's dead, or he died, yeah. How did he die, by the way?
Doomsday.
Doomsday?
An alien. He had a fight with an alien. Doomsday, and I guess this is the doomsday, the end of, you know, all things, and he killed him.
Did not know that. So
he didn't. Well,
he
killed him. Well, no, Superman is alive because he came back.
Oh, did he? Okay.
Yeah, because you can't kill Superman.
Okay.
It's like you cannot kill Jesus.
Okay, so I guess in the mind of young Jorge,
yeah.
You know, he was probably like you and Nick, completely devastated.
We got to talk to him.
Oh, the monster's called Doomsday.
Yep.
Okay, got it. Anyway, he goes on to say that the emotion that this caused him, and he had all kinds of questions, you know, about Superman then, and then it, until 6 years later, he was reflecting on the death of Superman, and that Superman really didn't save him, couldn't save him, that he could never be saved, but through Jesus Christ. So I'm kind of skipping over this. Mm-hmm. It's just going to, it doesn't translate
right.
Well, but, and so that's what he was talking about. All these cards, you guys collect the cards
right.
of all these superheroes. He had to, you know, discard all the Superman
cards
because he felt very much betrayed or defeated by this death.
So he was upset about it.
He was upset about
okay.
it, yeah.
But I then was upset about it, too.
Yeah, obviously.
Yes. Sure, Nick was, too.
Obviously. So, but then he began to reflect on Jesus as, so in fact, instead of Superman being his savior, he began to reflect deeply on the life of Jesus Christ as Savior, and this inspired interest in the Bible. And as he, you know, began to read the Bible and about and of course understand more the death and the resurrection of Jesus, that these are that this Paschal mystery offers really the first thing that after the death of Superman that began to reignite this hope and this belief that there's life beyond death, that he was able to accept death because death had been defeated through the suffering, death, and resurrection of Jesus. And so this restored his, and this is kind of an interesting reflection, but he said the resurrection and the life, the new life that comes from Christ and through his passion, that this would that this is all that comes to us through our baptism, as we're made children of God, and so and it, I don't know why I should never have started this, you know. But
no, it's funny. I was just having a conversation with somebody too, and it's like to interpret, like especially in Spanish. There's things in Spanish that you can't really interpret in English, so you understand
exactly.
It's a hard. That's why I feel for you as you attempt to do this. It's not an easy thing.
It's much easier for me to translate from English into Spanish.
Yes.
Than from Spanish into
exactly.
English, because I understand it clearly in the Spanish, but the words, I'm looking for the words in English.
Right. It kind of sounds better, or it makes more sense in the language that it is.
Yeah, exactly.
Whether it's Spanish or any language.
Exactly. You're married to a Mexican woman, and you spend your time with Spanish-speaking people,
right.
So you know this.
See, at work, we have issues where, you know, I mean, the Spanish talk, you know, in their language, it's easier to, whether it's whatever we're doing, it's easier to, you know, teach or to train each other in their language.
Right.
And there's people that have issues with that because they think, oh, well, you know, you're talking about me or things like that.
Sure.
So I said, well, okay, one time I had a friend that was translating it in, you know, as best as he could in English, and the person really thought he was making it up. So it's like you don't win one way or the other. It's just when you really understand that it's hard sometimes, it sounds better in the language that is spoken.
Exactly, yeah. No, absolutely, you know.
So
I should never have started.
But no, go on.
But anyway, you know, Peter in the reading, he affirms in the first reading that Jesus is the Savior of all, and that he, because the Lord even said, I've come not only for these, because he's speaking to the Jews, but Jesus is. But I've come for others as well. And so he lays down his life for not only the Jewish people, but for those who he will bring into the flock, you know, the universality, the Catholicity of the church, the new covenant that will go to north and south and east and west. And so Jesus, with his suffering, with his death and resurrection, he's not only does he give us eternal life, but he also gives us his body. He remains with us in his body and blood. He feeds us with himself, his body, blood, soul, and spirit. And this is where he becomes very challenging. This is something that the majority of young people do not understand. They've lost interest in knowing Jesus, who truly gives his life for us and is the giver and the sustainer of life. And he mentioned about a funeral that he had a week before, or 2 weeks before. I think I might have mentioned this, I'm not sure, but that he had gone to the funeral home, and it was a young person who had committed suicide, who had taken his life. And as you can imagine, when a young person dies, you've got all these young people. And it just surprised him, their complete lack of interest, And it was shocking to him that they didn't answer any of the prayers. that the only ones that answered the prayers were a few adults who were there present. And then he made reference to our Holy Communion, which, you know, was a challenge, very, very much a challenge, but I have to concur with this, that because we just the day before it had our first Holy Communion, and it was really beautiful. But the problem was, and he spoke about this, is that, you know, the people didn't even know, they had to be told when to kneel, when to stand, and there wasn't any response. And so the response was, the choir picked up on that, and so they made it a point to respond for the people, because the people weren't responding. The problem is that the people, so many of the people, not all of them, but so many of them, they don't fulfill their responsibility in seeing to it that their children that they enter into the discipline of the faith, that they're going to Mass every Sunday. If you go to Mass every Sunday, then all this comes very natural.
Right.
But when you don't, he said, I can't blame the young people, but this is where he got very strong about, you know, he says, you know, fathers and mothers, I invite you to take responsibility. You're the first teachers. You have to educate. You're the pillars of your families. You've got to educate your children in the faith, reminding them, or he says, I remind you of your commitment on the day of the baptism, and the commitment also that was made on the part of the godparents, that you made a promise to teach the faith, to witness the faith. You have an obligation to guard, to protect, to fulfill, to love the commandments of God, these divine commandments, to love God and our neighbor, and love Christ as we love ourselves, or as Jesus taught us. And he says, do you remember this obligation that you've made? And you said, yes, we will do this. This is part of the ritual. You've at least spoken your commitment, but do you fulfill that commitment? And then he spoke about, you know, we have Jesus present in the Holy Sacrament, where we can speak to Jesus, be with Jesus face to face under the hidden guise of bread and wine. This love of Christ in the sacrament, you know, that our doors are open 24/7, 24 hours, 7 days a week, every day, every night, and we can see Jesus face to face, and know the love of Christ. So the point was, is that it? Am I done here? Yeah. See, it doesn't even end well, as I'm saying. But you get the point. Yeah. You know that. We have such a unique opportunity, and so I just, you know, use my own words now, but it was the way he spoke it, you know, and again in the language, the challenge, because it's a challenge that really has to come to all of us today, is we've got to take responsibility for our faith. The young people are increasingly indifferent. The faith becomes irrelevant to them. If we don't take it seriously, if we don't understand, and I would add, you know, when people say, well, or young people will say, you know, the Mass is boring or whatever, it says, you know, it's not, again, and I've mentioned this many times on radio, we're not here for entertainment. We're here humbly to acknowledge God, to thank God, and to recommit over and over and over again our covenant with the Lord. That we, using the image of the Good Shepherd, that we recommit to follow the Good Shepherd, who warns us of the wolves, the ravenous wolves who are coming to devour and divide. I think in my homily I made reference to St. Paul, as I often do, because I just find it fascinating when Paul says, you know, I don't think that he says, I'm leaving you. He was speaking to the priests in Ephesus, and he says, I'm leaving you with a clean conscience because I did not withhold from you the full counsel of God. But you must know, you must understand that the ravenous wolves are coming to divide and destroy. And I think we have to wake up to the fact that we are in, it goes back to the question, we'll take a break and then maybe you can help me with this, or maybe I'll refer to my homily. But is the church at peace? Because the first reading this coming Sunday says, after a period of persecution, it was the persecution of Paul, after a period of persecution, the church was at peace. It's very beautiful. But the question is, how long was it at peace? And is the church at peace today? Let's take a break and we can come back and we'll try to answer that. You can help me with this, okay? So, all right, everybody, as I stumble to that translation, which should have never started it.
It's good.
But anyway, it was really a good homily. And if you heard it in the Spanish and how he delivered it, it was, we've gotten a lot of response from people who said, this is just very, very beautiful, very, 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 very much needed to be heard. All right, we'll be right back. Don't go away. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to Listener Supporter Wins a Change at AM 750 WNDZ.
St. Stan's needs your help. We are forming a group of volunteers called St. Stan's Cares to help parish and school families in times of need. To join the group or learn more, please contact Brian at 312-343-3222, and we will plan an upcoming virtual meeting to discuss the details. Almsgiving, it's one of the three pillars of Lent. Volunteer with St. Stan's Cares as a means of almsgiving.
The Winds of Change.
The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
There is a lot to learn at St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy, where faith, virtue, and valor is the academy's motto. For that motto expresses the values your child will learn here. Stop by St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy's website at ststanschicago.org. There you can meet the teachers, see the preschool, see the school's top academics, the science lab, and the Catholic faith. You will learn what our families have to say about St. Stan's. While you're on the site, you can schedule a tour to see St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy. So rather than hear me talk and talk, go to ststanschicago.org and learn all about it. This is Bold Talk with Father Thomas Loyal.
Another venerable sanctuary of positive male development has caved to the forces that seek to deny God's order of sexual complementarity. Boy Scouting is now just Scouting, as it has become mandatory for Boy Scouting to include girls and female Scout leaders. The same coup, however, has not befallen Girl Scouting, as they proudly reaffirm their mission to serve girls only. It is just another repeat of the Garden of Eden. Like Eve and the serpent, womanhood has fallen for another bad line. For men to develop into authentic men, capable of loving, protecting, cherishing, and serving womanhood, separateness is needed. Boys and men need venues in which males learn from other males how to be real men. Invading domains of proper male development neither serves or complements womanhood. It says that maleness is the standard, and unless women are wherever a man is at all times and in all things, womanhood has no intrinsic value of its own. It is also saying that the guys have put together a more desirable product than the girls. Why doesn't Girl Scouting suffice for the girls? The rules and standards do in fact change whenever girls are inserted into venues designed exclusively for male development. In the end, it is womanhood that is denied that authentic, fully developed male that God intended for her from the beginning.
Oh, welcome back, everybody. This is a weird day, I'm telling you right now. It's I'm not
you're thinking
attention.
About Superman, so am I.
Yeah, we were just talking about Superman. I should probably read more comics, get away from the news and all this
stuff.
Yeah,
I think about it now, too. I've always liked comics because of the whole... they're good guys, you know. In the course of so many years, sure, you got to make Spider-Man do a bad thing. But the one thing about it, it's even in the stories that are told, there's always that hero. And I could see how Deacon Jorge would you know, look at Superman that way, too. Because now that I think about it, I don't particularly – Superman is not a character I don't say that I don't like, but I don't really follow. I've read Superman a lot, but there's just so much other things to read. But and now I'm dwelling on this as you just said this, because Superman is that the epitome of a good guy. He protected the world. It's everything about Superman. And they call him Goody Goody because he's true justice in the American way. I mean, he's the protector, you know. And I can look at that. How okay? Well, if you really don't know who Superman is or what he is, you know, I can see how okay, Jesus, he died for our sins. But if you don't really know, if you don't really believe, if this is something that doesn't make any sense to you, it's hard to understand. So it's I can see how you would, you know, he's gone, and you would never think Superman could get killed, and here we are. You know?
So that's it kind of in a sense. And I was Sunday, I was saying this. You know, I've said this before on the radio. Mm-hmm. We've got to get away from this soft Jesus, you know, this domesticated Jesus. Jesus was this powerful man who was meek, of course, but in his meekness, there was this great power, great power. He was a threat. Otherwise, he wouldn't have been crucified, you know. Right. He wouldn't have been crucified. And his teaching is a hard teaching. He's, as I say so often, he's not a permissive God. His love is not permissive love. It's demanding. It's very demanding. It's sacrificial. So it's going back to the question. But by the way, you know, that's I was talking about. I was speaking Sunday about the. You know, I am the shepherd, Jesus says, I am the good shepherd.
Yeah.
And I it was very fascinating to me because in the first reading, Peter says, there is only under the name of Jesus is there salvation. Only Jesus is our salvation. But he mentions there is no salvation through any else, nor is there any other name under heaven given to the human race by which we are to be saved. And so I was saying, we hearken back to the book of not the book of Revelation, that's the end of the Bible. Nick said this is a tricky Tuesday. It really is a tricky Tuesday. So
yeah.
I'm tripping. It's a tricky Tuesday, and I'm tripping over my words.
But you're tired also.
That's exactly right. Thank you for acknowledging that. But we hearken back to Moses at the burning bush.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Moses was tending to the flock, and he sees this bush that is inflamed, and he was curious because it wasn't being consumed. And so he goes to the bush, and God, he hears a verse, the voice of God, and he says, you know, take your shoes off, you're on holy ground. And then God, this is the encounter he has now with God, and God says, you know, I want my people free. They're in bondage. Speaking of his people, the Israelites. Now the people really didn't know who God was. They knew that their God was the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, their ancestors. But they really didn't know God. They just knew that that was his God. That was their God. And so Moses was being sent, you know, to go and be the emissary to bring them freedom out of slavery, out of bondage, and Moses, he balks. He doesn't want to. He doesn't feel he has the capability. He doesn't speak well. He's afraid, and Moses, God wouldn't accept that. He says, "No, I send you. I've chosen you. You go and you bring them, and I will lead you. I will guide you." And so Moses said, well, but what is your name so that I can tell them who has sent me? And God said, I am who am. That's all he said. I am who am. And that's my name. I am. So Moses, and everybody knows the story, and, you know, it was through the different manifestations of, you know, there's this battle between good and evil, right? Mm-hmm. God good and Pharaoh the evil, who wanted to keep the slaveries in bondage, the Israelites. And so God is the victor, of course. And what was it? But the blood of the lamb that was placed over the doorpost, and the firstborn of every household where there is no blood over the doorpost would be would die, and but the angel of death would pass over the doorpost where there is blood. And so all the Jews, they knew to put the blood on the on the doorpost. And so they were Pharaoh said, let these people go. This God is obviously there's no match. And so the Israelites were set free, and they were brought through the waters of the Red Sea miraculously, which is a symbol of the baptism. We have to pass through the waters of the baptism. We've been redeemed through the blood of the cross, the blood of the Lamb, Passover through the Red Sea, and then we're led through the desert journey, 40 hours. Wow, a tricky Tuesday, right?
Tricky Tuesday.
40 years. 40 years. Oh, we got to bring this to, what time is it? How much? 40 years. 40 years.
40 years in the desert.
They were brought to the desert, and they were mm-hmm. sustained by the manna, the manna, the bread from the heaven that sustained them in the journey. And of course, there's all kinds of things that happened. And the Ten Commandments were given, and the people had, you know, they had basically they had reneged and. So he's being purged, right, and being transformed, and he's being sanctified, and they finally are able to pass over the Jordan River, mm-hmm. pass through the river, the Jordan River.
True to the river.
I am really tired. I'm so sorry. I should shut this off right now. but he passes through the Jordan River, and they pass in. They do. Into the promised land, mm-hmm. and so anyway, the point is, it's a prefiguration of a preparation for what would happen, is that we would be set free from the slavery and of death and sin through the blood of the Lamb drawn through the waters of baptism, mm-hmm. and brought into the mystical body of Christ, and then sustained through the manna, the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus, the hidden manna that is, the Old Testament says, and it's just so beautiful, the mysterious bread unknown to others but known to us, that we're sustained through the blood, the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ, and brought through the Passover through death into new life, into the promised land, into heaven. So, the point being that in John's gospel, Jesus is identifying who he is. And so the whole of John's gospel, he keeps making reference to who he is. He says, I am the good shepherd, which is what we read this past week. He'll say, I am the door that opens to the newness of life. He says, I am the living water which satiates the thirst for truth. He says, I am the bread from heaven, the living bread. You eat this bread and you will live unto eternal life. I am the bread. So I am the bread. I am the light, the living water. I am the light that dispels the darkness of sin and death. I am, and what one of them that I didn't mention last week is I am the vine.
Right.
That was another one. I am the vine. Cleave to me as the sap gives life to the branch. You have life. So, and that, you know, the, in other words, we have to cleave to Jesus, who is the vine, we're the branch, and that's the sap that gives life to the branch, the symbol of the Spirit of God that gives life to the followers of Jesus, so that we give witness and we have life because we have life in Him. And then, of course, there is the when he's of course, and I am the life, the I am the way, the truth, and the life.
Yes.
Well, I tell you, I am really.
It's interesting, Father. If I could just interject right now, for your homily on Sunday, I just wanted to go read the Book of John, the Gospel of John, I should say. But yeah. Just all the I ams,
I
ams, I ams, I ams.
Fascinating.
Now with Deacon Jorge, now I have to read the Superman,
right.
Which you gave me two interesting things to read. But I remember even, and how even the, you couldn't mention, I think about how far we've come. The Israelites, you wouldn't even say the name of God.
Right.
That's why it's I am. But just would they get stoned for that?
So, which is what's so fascinating is it culminates in Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane.
Yeah.
When the temple guard, they come and they say, are you Jesus the Nazarene? And he says, I am.
Yeah.
But it's in the gospel, it's all in caps.
Yeah.
I am. And the gospel says they were blown to the ground. The power came out of him. He's identifying himself now. The very God who, from the burning bush, said, I am who am, now has a name, and that name is Jesus. And then, of course, it ends with the when he stands before Pilate, and Pilate says, are you the king? And he says, so you say, I am. Yeah. It's really, really, really fascinating. Yeah. But it's so now, as we enter into the new covenant— because the whole Hebrew scripture, the Old Testament, was a prelude, a preparation. It was a typology. It was God leading us to this messianic hour, whereby we now break beyond Judaism. Judaism remains part of the covenant, but it's a universal covenant. It's eternal. And it's universal, meaning they're going to be called to go to the north, the south, the east, and the west. And it takes them a while to get it, you know, that they got to move beyond Judaism. But Jesus has now been identified. So God this visitation of God who comes and, you know, takes on our flesh, as Saint Peter said the week before, that because he's carrying that same theme as he's speaking to the Jews, because these were his people, and the Jews had those Jews who had accepted the Messiah, they had been waiting for the Messiah, and so they accepted Jesus as the Messiah, and they had no desire to leave the synagogue. It was just that everything was fulfilled now. A prophecy is fulfilled. And so Peter is with great passion speaking to his own people, the Jewish people, because the church was all Jewish. There was only Jews until Paul goes through his conversion, who was a great persecutor of the Jews and wanted him out of the synagogue because he accepted Jesus as a Messiah. But Peter says, you know, you put the author of life to death. You know, do you realize he is the this Jesus who was crucified, died, buried, and rose from the dead? This is the author of life who you've crucified. In other words, do you forget what was foretold, what was prepared for us? All things have come to fruition. All things have come to fulfillment. And it was only really St. Paul who got it and moved the apostles beyond Judaism to go out to all the nations, to the north, the south, the east, and the west. And of course, you know, some they went in different ways, different places, but some were ministering to the Jews, others were ministering to the Greek Jews, Hebrew Jews, the different Jews throughout, but also then moving beyond Judaism into the Gentile world to bring them to faith in Christ for the salvation, for personal salvation, and to begin to that Jesus, has established this universal and eternal kingdom. So anyway, that's the gist of what was saying. Now, how did I get into this other? I didn't get into the we can probably do this later. But is the church at peace? This is what I'm working on right now, because after the persecution, is it really Paul's persecution of the Christians who were Jewish, but had accepted Jesus as the Messiah, were being pushed out of the synagogue, and that's when they began to celebrate. They took the synagogue service and united it to the Eucharistic on Sunday, which was the eating the bread, the body, the blood, and the soul and divinity of Christ. Reading scripture, basically following the synagogue service, but then coupling that with the Eucharistic mystery, right? That they would partake in this body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus, be fed with his body and blood, soul, and divinity, because they offer themselves as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to the Lord, their spiritual worship, and then to be his emissaries, his ambassadors, his disciples unto all nations. But after this persecution, the church was at peace, but it was only at peace for a short time. And I think we're going to wait until we come back to talk about whether, the question, is the church at peace? Well, the church is not at peace. Not when she's bleeding members,
yep.
Not when she's when the young deem her irrelevant, not when we seem unable to rise above, social justice issues that pit one group against another, not when we sell out to the globalist world leaders and embrace their agenda for a new world government, rather than rise above them and hold them accountable to the free exercise of the person's right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Not when the mystical body of Christ is viewed more as a corporation or a civic institution, not when we cease defending life and cease using right reason with regard to God's ordering of life in many, many ways. So we're going to have to end right there, but the question is the church at peace? No, she's not at peace.
No.
And she's got to face a challenge that she's up against, and we'll talk about that later. Everybody, thanks for being with us, and I'm sorry if this was a hard hour for you, but I hope you stayed with us. Thanks for being with us. Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Peace be with you. Ciao.
The world makes no sense. Do we search deeper truths or sit on the fence? Can you see? Can you see? Can you see the winds have changed? We marvel and flatter such meaningless thought. The shall appear strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The